from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yes, the Fan Morning Show is brought to us by our friends at Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We have a Brandon Ayuk update for you, which we'll get to in a moment. I am so annoyed by ESPN, dude. They just flashed this big graphic. Captures your attention. Steelers logo. Steelers quarterback competition continues. There is no competition. It's going to be Russell Wilson, first of all. Then they cut to Russ being sacked. They don't show the start of the play. They just show the defender, Greg Rousseau, pulling Russ to the ground.
Generally speaking, when the quarterback is hitting the back of his drop and the defender's in his lap, they did Broderick Jones a favor.
They did Broderick Jones a favor so that they could toss it to Dan Orlovsky, who's now on, who's going to say, Russ is back to his old tricks, taking sacks again. But you're not going to show Broderick Jones getting walked into the primordial soup by Greg Rousseau. It's just intellectually dishonest. And I think Dan Orlovsky does a great job breaking down quarterbacks. I think he has had it out for Russ or big time in on Justin before he ever watched them put on a Steelers uniform. So his mind's already made up. But we don't need to get into all that. We kind of did that in the last hour. Doesn't mean I'm not annoyed nonetheless.
You seem very perturbed.
It drives me crazy. If you want Justin Fields, I think there are legitimate arguments to be made. And I think people have made some sense.
I just don't understand the allegiance to him. What has he done? I mean, he's done plenty of things that would tell me he could be back to his old ways too. He took a lot of sacks last year, missed a lot of throws.
Well, you know what he is, man? And I do not mean to disparage Justin, but he is the dating profile picture of a hot girl. That's what he is. Still, he was on the market. Nobody wanted him. Why? You look at the picture. Beautiful. He's got all the talent in the world.
Then you turn the tape on.
Then you start talking to the person. Oh, that's why they're single. That's what happened. And there were some good things he did, I thought, in the preseason game. But he also did some of the stuff, the baggagey stuff, that you knew he was going to bring. And he was doing it against third and fourth teamers. So I think the only way to want Justin
is if Russ plays bad.
Well, is if Russ plays bad, or like the only way to want Justin is to not be evaluating what he's done in the preseason and just say he's super talented and we're going to play the guy who's talented because he could be the future quarterback of the Steelers. If you're putting on the tape for Russ and for Justin Fields, I don't really think that you have much to go on in terms of evaluation from this preseason. Are you ready for the Brandon Ayuk update?
I can't wait. What color Gatorade?
Oh, we don't have a Gatorade update, but we have Mike Garofalo and Tom Pelissero.
Ooh.
The latest. The insiders on NFL Network from yesterday.
Since we told you the 49ers made their last offer, gosh, it was over a week ago, The numbers haven't moved. So, yeah, Tom, they are close, and they're within striking distance, and it could happen at every moment, but it hasn't happened, and they're right by the goal line, and they're kind of staring at each other across the goal line, and there's been no movement, but we're following up. You talked about the Steelers because the Steelers trade still remains in play, and Brandon Ayuk seems like he is 10 toes down, as they like to say on these things, and not moving, and feels like he's got a bottom line that he's waiting for the 49ers to meet, and if they're not willing to meet, he will continue to push for the trade to Pittsburgh. So that deal is done. The trade and the contract feel like they're done and could be done just like that. We're waiting for this thing to resolve one way or another. It has not. Day 30, waiting on day 31.
So then Tom Pelissero would go on, and I'll paraphrase to make it quicker here. Hey, the longer this goes, Pittsburgh should actually be willing to give up less and less for Brandon Ayuk, because you're not going to get a ready-made football player because he hasn't been practicing. He doesn't know the offense. And so you're not going to get the best of Brandon Ayuk, which I totally disagree with Tom Pelissero on.
Yeah, San Francisco's just going to... They're just going to let down their guard and say, take him.
Yeah,
no,
that's not
going to
happen. And you're also not, if you're the Steelers, only acquiring Brandon Ayuk for now. You're going to be giving him a 3 or 4 year, probably a 4 year contract.
And a lot of money.
And a lot of money. And so if he's not going to play up to his potential because he doesn't know the offense and he's not quite in sync the first few games, okay, you're going to live with that because you're going to have the guy for darn near half a decade. So I don't agree with that. In fact, what I would do if I'm the Steelers now, I'm not upping my offer to the 49ers. I'm not throwing in an extra draft pick. I'm not doing anything to put pressure on them. What I am doing maybe, though, is I'm offering Brandon Ayuk more money. I might call, if I'm Omar Khan, Brandon Ayuk's agent and say, hey, look, I hear you're at the goal line. I hear you're almost there with San Francisco. Know about them taxes out there? Don't have that problem here. We'll throw you an extra couple mil a year. And then he's not going to take the San Francisco offer. That's how you pressure the 49ers. Not by saying, here's an extra draft pick. Let's sweeten our deal. No, sweeten the deal to Brandon Ayuk. So with whatever they come up with in San Francisco is going to fall short. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I think the issue here is, I mean, they need another team to tango here because San Francisco wants a receiver, right? You know, and I know there was talk of Dallas, and it's just... It seems more complicated than is probably possible to make happen in a short amount of time.
A three-way deal, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh's not giving up any current players in the deal, right? I mean, it's
right.
Draft capital, which I still have concerns about. But really, let's say Brandon Ayuk isn't ready. I still wouldn't lower my offer because you're net positive on your current roster. With Brandon Ayuk, regardless of his current status, you're net positive, even if it's not week one.
Yeah, I'll take a guy who's not up to speed with that talent level as my number two over Van Jefferson, who knows
you're
the
offense. You're going to bring him on, yeah, and if he has to get in shape, all that stuff. I'm sure he's been working out, trust me. It seems like San Francisco, I don't think San Francisco's just going to relent. I don't think they're going to relent. I think they're content to say, okay, don't play.
I do think that this notion that they're close is phony baloney. Like, if you're close, then it doesn't drag out this long. You sit down for 2, 3, 4 hours, you make the time, and you get it done if you are really that close and you value the player. And the other reports are it could be about guaranteed money, it could be about an extra year. I don't look at that as a small bridge.
No, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Didn't go to practice yesterday. Which is now a change.
Did not drink blue Gatorade.
There was no Gator. He might have drank it on his own time.
Right, but it's not being reported play by play as every sip goes down his gullet.
Correct. There was no public consumption of Gatorade.
I'm just sick of this whole thing.
I am too.
I really am. It is as curious as I am about him being a Steeler and as positive as I think that would be, the saga here is just getting... I'm tired of it.
I think the listeners agree with that, too, so I'm very careful about how much we get into this.
Yeah,
I want to bring them the updates.
It is a real deal, and the Steelers seem to be the only suitor that he cares about. So it has to be talked about and reported. What to me, is harder to decipher right now is what is San Francisco's position, and how close are they, if at all? I think we're trying to find a needle in a haystack here.
Adam Schefter said... on Tuesday that he expected it to get done before the preseason game that they've got on Friday the 23rd. Yesterday, a San Francisco 49ers beat writer said that because they've got all their game prep and all that stuff that they got to do and the game and the travel and all that, he wouldn't expect it to happen until Monday. So no
this
one can agree.
This past Monday or next Monday?
Next Monday, yeah, as we reach like day 40.
So it continues.
I have a question about, it's a philosophical question about quarterback.
I love it.
And where you would rather have your roster be weak.
Oh.
So we'll get into that. And then I want to talk Pitt football.
Let's do it, baby.
I want to know your pulse on this year's Panthers team. You can give us a ring on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And we'd love you to text us. A lot of you are. Brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Give us a ring on that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. No Doran today. He's out tomorrow as well. Pat Bostic in with us until 9 o'clock. I want to get into Pitt football here in a moment, Pat, because we haven't had that talk yet.
We have not.
Not on the air, at least. A little here and there, but not on the air. So we will do that. But first, a philosophical question. And I think I know the answer to this, but Steelers' offensive line hadn't looked all that good. And I'm holding out hope that they can gel. They've got a lot of talent there, a lot of young players there. Wide receiver core, not very good. Can you make it work with a subpar wide receiver core if you've got a good offensive line? Or vice versa, if you've got an offensive line that's not so good, can you make it work if you've got great receivers? And which would you as a quarterback prefer?
I'd prefer to have a great offensive line.
Yeah.
And, you know, mediocre to above average receivers. I think we saw that in New England work. I think we've seen that other places. I mean, but the commonality between New England and Kansas City, Tyreek Hill notwithstanding, is a great tight end. Great tight ends. But largely receivers that are not, they're not, this isn't Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson.
And when it went to hell for the Patriots against the Giants, couldn't protect Brady.
Yep.
And when Patrick Mahomes lost his Super Bowl against the Buccaneers, couldn't protect
them
at all.
Look at Joe Burrow in Cleveland, right? They've got all these great receivers, and they can't get him the ball because he's flat on his back. So I think that's more important.
Because I think that's what the Steelers are looking to. Like, I think their hope was, and sorry to cut you off, that their line would coalesce. They've got a lot more talent. They believe in Pat Meyer. They believe in the scheme helping their linemen.
Right.
And so that with a veteran quarterback, they could get by with a not-so-wonderful receiver core. No, at least until Ayuk may come in here.
Well, true. But the same concerns you have about Russell Wilson and Justin Fields in the preseason, those concerns about the O-line are real. And giving up draft capital doesn't exactly look great when your O-line's not where you want it to be.
I think those concerns are more real than any, at least right now, Russell Wilson concerns.
I would agree. I think those concerns trump it, and I think they also directly impact any concern you have about Russell Wilson is going to be the level of pressure that he's under. But I think it starts at the offense, particularly with how the Steelers play and who Arthur Smith is as a play caller philosophically. You've got to be able to run it. You've got to be able to protect the quarterback to take shots down the field, particularly, you know, when you have quarterbacks like Russell and Justin Fields that have been sacked a lot over the last couple of years. That if you're not a human being if that doesn't affect you. So they need to protect them. They need to protect them, and they need to do a better job certainly than they did against Buffalo.
That was pretty ugly.
I mean, you watch the highlight, the low light tape, excuse me, that the national media is using to form an argument against starting Russell Wilson. What it is it didn't look like a very good football team.
Yeah, and Justin Fields, at least he's young, athletic, in the prime of his athletic career. And so, hey, if the offensive line and the world is collapsing around you, at least he can get out of Dodge.
I'm going to tell you something philosophically right now. The last thing you want for Justin Fields to take the next step in his career is for him to be running for his life like he did in Chicago.
And that is why, in addition to Russ being a better protector of the football, you are not going to see Justin Fields early this season.
That's when bad things happen, right? That's when bad things happen. I mean, I watched Justin Fields play in person. I know multiple people that coached him.
Yep.
And I'm not saying they're right on everything. They were let go. So it happens. But
in large part because they weren't able to get him to
another
level.
And they'll tell you to a man that he's a great guy, that you can, quote, win with him, but how much? And I don't think the Steelers right now are in a position to take a flyer going into this season. They did that last year. And the year before, to some extent, late in the season, with Kenny. You know what you have in Russell Wilson. You know what you think, you know what you have around him. Now, they've got to all perform. You've got an elite defense. And they feel like they can ride that and compete. How much they can compete, we'll find out. But if the breakdowns on the offensive front happen the way they happen against, well, I don't care who's back there. It's not going to be good.
No, and that's why when people say, people, capital P people, a lot of people in the national media, Justin Fields is going to be the Steelers' future, so let him be the present. I think if you want him to have a future, he can't play in the present. Because best case scenario, Faltanu plays week one.
Yep.
Broderick Jones plays week one. Zach Frazier is going to play week one. Those guys all might wind up being fantastic. Those three guys aren't going to be fantastic right off the bat. It doesn't work that way.
No.
If they found lightning in a bottle here, and like the expectation is they should all be great players. But to think all three, basically rookies, because Broderick only came in midway through last year, are going to play well early? I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, and you've got Broderick Jones and potentially Faltanu going up against Judon week one.
Mm-hmm. And Judon's a better player. I know he was hurt last year than Greg Rousseau, and we saw what Greg Rousseau did to Broderick Jones.
Right. It comes back to the same issues for the Steelers. In order for rookie offensive linemen to progress, you cannot be in third and 10. You cannot be in third and 12. You've got to be on schedule and play fundamental stack drives, put them in winning situations. Because there's a learning curve, and it's as big on the offensive line as it is anywhere.
I would think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the run blocking should come easier.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it comes down to physicality at that point. I mean, there's a lot of thinking that goes into play. I don't think you can underestimate the learning curve for Zach Frazier at center, too, and what he's going to have to deal with. Now, fortunately, and here's another thing. You're going to start a rookie center. You want the most veteran quarterback back there that can control things.
Yeah.
That can make calls, that can readjust protections, that can get out of a bad run into a good run. I'm putting my money on Russell Wilson doing that, not Justin Fields.
I do that six times a day. Get those two confused and bored.
We're just talking about it constantly, but it's top of mind. I get it. I want Russell Wilson making those adjustments.
I'm with you.
Those are things that don't get talked about on a broad basis. But it's so important in those walls, right? When you're a team that, let's face it, they're not a team that's going to, I don't expect them to go out and average 46 points a game. They're not a team, they have a low margin for error. That applies to every play, every snap that you take. Whether you're running it, throwing it, or punting it.
They got a good punter now, though.
They do. But you have got to, mentally and schematically, you got to be in a good play. And that is a part of the quarterback position that gets undersold, in my opinion, is being just part and parcel, symbiotic with the offensive coordinator, that you understand what he's trying to get done, and you're able to go out there and make sure that if something goes wrong, it's not a catastrophe.
The best quarterback drive I may have ever seen came from a quarterback who barely threw the ball. And that was Peyton Manning in the divisional round, 2015.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was 3rd and 8 or whatever. He does convert. But getting in a run play.
Yeah.
And Peyton Manning, you want to talk about, he was washed. But mentally, no. And they go down the field, and the rest is history. And the Steelers were in that game, and Fitz Toussaint and all that. But that drive was masterful because he understands the game of football at a level that few people have ever understood it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Russ is in that category, but you got to imagine he's closer to that.
Much closer.
By leaps and bounds than Justin
Fields. Closer. I think that's a really critical component of this that gives Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin a lot of comfort in Russell Wilson.
Shall we talk about Pitt?
Let's do it. I've been waiting to do this.
Is this next week going to feel like a lifetime for you? Or is it going to go fast?
It's going to go fast. But every day is good. Crazy. So, yeah, it's... I'm fired up. I'm excited.
I want people to vote on the Twitter poll, @_AdamCrowley. It's brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Russ Wilson says he's not concerned about the Steelers' offense. Are you? You can vote. Again, @_AdamCrowley. I'll get into that coming up a little bit more in the 9 o'clock hour. Pat Bostic with us until 9 o'clock, and we've been all over the Steelers' storylines with Pat. All the QB stuff. Little Brandon Ayuk update. And there's some AFC North storylines that I want to get into in the next segment. But we have had Pat on every Thursday, well, forever. And we have yet to talk about Pitt football. So,
burying the lead.
Yeah, let's start 30,000 feet here. I mean, we're what? 9 days away from kickoff of the 2024 season. How are you feeling, broad strokes? Then we can narrow it down.
Yeah, I think it's been... I've been at training camp probably a few times a week, and I will say this. I don't notice anything. I notice a very excited, motivated team. The energy level in practice is much more palpable because of the pace of the offense. It's totally different. That gives me great optimism about this season. It also is much different. I mean, it is a categorically different style of offense than Pat Narduzzi is employed with his program for the last 9 seasons. This is a vast departure. It's closer. Whipple's offense in 20 and 21 is probably maybe not even half as fast.
Wow.
Or as up-tempo as this. They would go up-tempo and fast periodically. This is all the time. This is much more in line with what is standard in college football. And when you make that kind of paradigm shift, there's always going to be bumps and challenges, and you try to get those out of the way in spring and summer and fall. And I think, you know, this offense for the past week has looked about as good as I could have expected it to look. I've seen a lot of really good signs. And that's going to be what determines where this team goes.
Well, not to cut you off here, Pat, Narduzzi said that defense won the first scrimmage. I think if you're a Pitt fan, should be really encouraged that he came around, said that the offense won the second one.
Yeah.
I think that's good. I don't know that you want to have the same unit win both scrimmages.
That's why head coaches are largely miserable people. Because it's like, you know, who do you root for? He's a defensive guy, and I've been a part of a lot of scrimmages and training camps, and defense is typically ahead early. That's the way it works. It's always good to have back and forth. Yeah, they were in Acrisure Stadium on Sunday. I thought both quarterbacks played really well. They had some explosive plays, but they were efficient. They weren't penalized. I mean, you talk about the Steelers having a slim margin for error. That was the way, really, for the last two seasons that Pitt has had a slim margin for error because they've relied heavily on the run game, and the quarterback play has been middle of the road to below average. Last year it got bad at times. And when you have that, you put a lot of pressure on the other units to perform, and it's really difficult. And when you're mistake prone, penalties, turnovers, and the like, it's almost impossible to win. And I look back at last season, and it's 3-9, and it's a record that I did not foresee. You're always closer to that than people think. You're a couple bounces away from being a not so good football team based on how confidence works. But I watch the games back, I look at the box scores, and I'm like, man, this team probably played good enough defense to win 6-7
eight
games.
I think about the first half of that Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
Thought the defense played great.
They played great. They kept in the game. They got nothing out of multiple turnovers. So if this offense is able to take even a marginal step, you're back on the tracks of where this program has been and where it's going, and you have something to build off of. And that's how I'm looking at this season. Pat Narduzzi looked in the mirror, made some difficult decisions, evaluated himself and where this program is going, went young and innovative on the offensive staff, brought in a lot of new players. They've kept their personality and they've kept their pillars as a program, but they've evolved. And now that evolution needs to go from being conceived and conceptualized to happening. And we're going to find out a lot. I don't know about week one, but that Cincinnati game week two is, to me, it's the biggest game of the month of September. And that's nothing disparaging about West Virginia. But
yeah.
I mean, those games are a toss-up, right? The brawl's a toss-up.
Yep.
It's a street fight. I mean, it takes one punch and you're out. But you can go 3-1 in the month of September. 2023 is a distant memory. And that's why the Cincinnati game is, on paper, every game is, you can't take for granted, but on paper, it's massive. It's massive.
Is there, and I'm sure you have to be fairly careful in what you say, but is there a legitimate quarterback battle, or do they know who their guy is?
Listen, if you contrast, Pat Narduzzi is always going to say there's competition everywhere and all these things, but when you contrast the discussion about Phil Jakovic last year and naming him a starter and all those things, it was almost a foregone conclusion. I think he's been much more clear and transparent about there being competition this year. He's named Nate Yarnell the starter in the past. He did it back in January. He's had pole position, if you will. But I said this on my show Saturday, like, I don't think it says anything bad about Nate Yarnell that Eli Holstein's pushing him. I think that says that they have two quarterbacks that they like, one of which is a freshman that transferred from Alabama that has great pedigree. I think it's a good problem to have. Now,
it's Julian Duggar's birthday today, by the way.
Yeah.
And saw Deuce tweet that out.
He did tweet that out. He always does the happy birthday tweets. But those two I feel really good about. I think we'll see them both in that opener. Under what circumstances, I don't know. But you have to have, I think last year proved that you have to have more than one.
Oh.
And if you don't know who two is or who three is, you've got yourself some issues.
Yes.
And there were some assumptions made last year that obviously didn't pan out, and no one wanted that to be the case. This year, I think they're preparing themselves that you're going to have to use more than one at one point, and they feel comfortable with what Holstein's done, and I've seen a lot of progress from him that leaves me excited not only about this year but beyond.
You talk about that Cincinnati game. I think you're spot on. Like, someone just texted in, Pitt will win 5-6 games this year if things go well. I fundamentally disagree with that. You go 3-1 in the first month, right?
Yep.
That schedule's manageable. I don't look at that schedule and go, oh my God, even if Pitt's leaps and bounds better, you got to play perfect every single Saturday to navigate that schedule and find wins. I think you can find wins on that schedule if you are playing competent football. And if you, and not saying you'll be a finished product come the Cincinnati game week two, but if you find a way to win that game, you build some confidence, and at worst you get out 3-1, you can really start adding some wins, because I just don't think that schedule is really all that scary.
No, it's not. I mean, you got an open week after Youngstown State, so let's say you're 3-1 or 4-0 at that point. I'm just speaking hypothetically. You're in a vastly different position than you were last year at this point in time. You've got confidence. At that point, if you're 3-1 or 4-0, your offense is moving. You're playing well. You go to North Carolina, that's, you know, they transfer a quarterback. They lose Drake May. They've got a new defensive coordinator. You know, Mack Brown, how much longer is he going to be there?
Yeah, but Miami's going to win the national championship.
They are, right? We don't play Miami. Cal coming into town, coming across the country to play in Pittsburgh. You know, you're Syracuse on a Thursday night after a long week. I mean, SMU on the road is going to be tough.
Sure.
They're a good football team. Virginia's been at the bottom of the league for the last couple seasons under Tony Elliott. Are they going to take a step? You got them at home in November. Clemson, where's Clemson? Where have they been? I'm not a Cade Klubnik believer right now.
No.
He hasn't proved to me that he is Trevor Lawrence 2.0 like everyone thought. Louisville on the road, will it be challenging? Beat him last year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Boston College on the road. Beat him last year. And you could be playing for something at that point. Not only interseason, but playing for, you know, rebooting the program and getting back on the stead and on the track that you were on. So, yeah, this is a really important month coming up. It's why we talk about college football. You get nervous every week, and this month of September, and particularly weeks 2 and 3, are going to tell us a lot about where this team is and where it can go.
Callis in my ear said, I have to go to the bathroom. Take this segment as long as you want. And that was about 5 minutes ago.
I think we got another 5 minutes. he looked uncomfortable going to the...
Oh, unbelievable. I don't know what to do with my guy. But I do know that that was a very good summation. And we'll talk more, obviously, about Pitt next week when Doran is here. And it'll just be 2 days before game one. So we can get into it even deeper and
Mountaineers got
spend more time. I don't want to talk about it.
Why?
I don't want to talk about it. Because I'm feeling things, man.
They're going to beat them.
Stop it. Don't you do that.
I'll tell you, they're going to beat Penn State.
Don't do that to me.
Okay, you know where you heard it first.
I mean, there are things out there. I don't want to get too in the weeds here. But
I'm not a Drew Aller believer.
I'm not either, but he did play well against us last year. Totally different team that we have.
No one expected West Virginia to be anything last year.
No, and I think the spread is reflecting. See what you're doing? Last year, West Virginia, 21.5 point dogs. This year, 10. And I think it's coming down.
And it's in Morgantown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can promise you this.
Uh-huh.
He's been to all these different places. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be like, oh, it's going to be a bigger crowd or louder. He ain't going to have seen anything like that place.
No, it's a different level of, even though it's only 60,000, there's a level
of venom.
It's psychotic.
Yeah. Oh, it's psychotic.
Yeah, and they don't, it's not Pitt hate, but the level of venom for Penn State is pretty big. Pretty big.
I'm fired up to watch that game. I'm really fired up to watch. Like, yeah, I'll be watching it simultaneous with the Pitt-Kent State game because it's...
Yeah, of course. I'm going to puke. Not because of alcohol. I'm going to be so worked up. You will know. If you only watch the scoreboard, you will know exactly how I'm feeling just based on the scoreboard. Like, you know me well enough, but yeah. You will know exactly how I'm feeling at every moment. All right. I want to talk about the AFC North. A couple of big storylines out there. And Mr. Quarterback, Pat Bostic with us, of course, until 9 o'clock, or God knows when. Because Callis is out at the bathroom right now. Deshaun Watson hasn't played a preseason game.
Yeah.
Surgery on his throwing arm last year. Misses most of practice yesterday. for what Kevin Stefanski, the Browns head coach, is calling general arm soreness. I want to make sure I got that right. How concerned should the Browns be about the health of their quarterback?
Very.
Yeah.
I mean, they're paying him a lot of money to be their guy.
Sold their soul a little bit, too.
He has not been their guy. You got famous Jameis in there now. You had a man in the controls.
I think that was a good move by them.
Great pickup.
Yep.
Great pickup. But they are, the Browns to me are very Jekyll and Hyde. I think when things are going good, they're really good. And when things go bad, I think they could be catastrophically bad.
Tend to spiral a little bit.
I do. I think they have that. I think that everything that Watson went through and going through, I mean, similar to Tiger Woods, although Tiger Woods, I think, is a generational human being in terms of coming back and winning the Masters and all that stuff. I think that can't help but damage your confidence as a player. I don't think he's the same guy he was in Houston. I just don't. I really don't. And I think when things are going well, it's easy. But when it comes to crunch time, there's two other quarterbacks in the division that are better. And Russ Wilson ain't far off from him. I really don't think that. I think he's below him, but I don't think he's far off. And that's an age discrepancy, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Defense is legit. But I'm concerned if Watson ain't the guy, I mean, you've mortgaged your future.
And look, I know that they won a lot of games last year with Flacco, and Flacco did turn the ball over. If you're running Jameis out there, he's going to turn it over.
Oh,
he can turn it over a ton. And their defense, well, on the whole, very good. On the road, was one of the worst defenses in football. Very weird. At home, couldn't move. Couldn't do junk.
Yep.
I think they held Arizona to 47 yards. On the road, they go out there and they win 39-38 against Indianapolis. Totally different defense, road v. home. But I think right now, August 22nd, I've got them as the last place team in the division. There's just too many question marks there with Deshaun Watson. And then the other storyline is in Cincinnati, Ja'Marr Chase reportedly asking for 4 years, $160 million. So a whopping 40 a year, which would make him by far the highest paid receiver in football. And the other report, he ain't stepping onto a field until they get that done. And look, most teams in the NFL are going to spend to the cap. Cincinnati will do that too, but they don't like spending money. You got to put a ton of that in escrow,
right?
Yada, yada. $40 million? I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't see him doing it.
I think it lasts into the season, would be my prediction. But Pat, we've got to let you go because Callis is back.
He's back.
And the clock has been absolutely damaged.
It has been damaged.
Mm-hmm.
I think done it so naturally before. I thought I had enough time.
I think there's other things that have been damaged.
Thank you, Pat.
But I'll leave you with that.
This was fun. Next week, buddy, we're going to have a Pitt football game.
And
48 hours
no
away.
No doubt, baby. And a rap battle, right, Callis?
I think that's before the brawl.
Oh, it's before the brawl.
Yeah.
We can prepare for it.
Yeah, you guys can do a little rehearsal.
It was supposed to be a secret to the public, but...
50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by
South
Hills.
So was your trip to the bathroom.
I mean, 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate your time. We've got the... What are they called? Renfest Wenches joining me at like 9:15, 9:20. And it's going to be crazy. These are two of the funniest people I've ever met. They're going to come on here and just make fun of me until my ears start to bleed. But before then, I'll make your ears bleed by telling you why the Steelers need to start the year 4-0 and why I think it's absolutely possible, even though this is far from a perfect football team. That's next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 76.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.